welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead this morning in a passage of Scripture. This is in Isaiah. And Isaiah is encouraging Israel about their Babylonian captivity and what God is about to do. He says, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." What a powerful prophetic word of encouragement that the Lord is giving Israel here. And it's such a powerful word of encouragement that we can all grab onto and be encouraged, as we know God is making all things new. He has made new things new in our lives. We can see where his hand has moved on our lives. But I just want to take a look this morning at this passage of Scripture, and I just want to see how and look at how, when God makes things new, so many times it follows this pattern that he lays out for us here. God makes all things new, and he's going to do a new thing. You know, so many times in our lives, we want to be free from something. We want to be delivered from something. There's a problem or a situation or something that has us down, and it's like our goal is to be free from that thing, so we're not in bondage to that thing. And God wants freedom and deliverance too, but God does things in a way that he will do a new thing, and that new thing becomes your deliverance. That new thing becomes a motivation for you to pursue after. In other words, I know I shouldn't do this, and I know I shouldn't do that. When it's religion, there's no motivation there. But when God does a new thing, that new thing becomes the motivation to do what you know you should do anyway. But there's a new thing God is doing. And this morning, I want to take a look at doing a new thing, because you'll see the backdrop that he gives. I will make a road in the wilderness, and I will make rivers in the desert. In other words, yeah, I know there's going to be a new thing, but all I can see is desert, and all I can see is wilderness. But that's okay. If all you can see is desert and wilderness, I can make a road in the wilderness. I can make rivers in the desert. I'm going to do a new thing. Don't be intimidated by what you've seen and the way things have always been. I'm going to do a new thing. So this morning, we are going to be ministering along the lines of when God does a new thing, all right? When God does a new thing. Signposts to be aware. When you sense the Spirit stirring in your heart, certain things to see the big picture of what the Spirit is stirring in us as he begins to do a new thing. So the first aspect of when God does a new thing, the one who can make rivers in a desert, he's going to start with this. There's going to be a call to leave the familiar, all right? Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. If God is going to be able to do a new thing in our life, he is going to call us out to leave the familiar. Hebrews 11, faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar, to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. So he left with only a promise and without even knowing ahead of time where he was going. Abraham stepped out in faith. Wow, that is pretty amazing to think that he was called out of what he knew, what was familiar to him. And all he had was the promise, I'm going to make you a great nation. In you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. I'm sure Abraham had a lot of questions, but that's what he had to do. The first thing that he had to be able to do, though, was to leave the familiar, leave what he was used to, because he had a promise. He had a promise of something new, a promise of something different. But as we're called, as God's bringing and birthing new things in our life, there's going to be a stirring, a call to leave the familiar, to leave what we're maybe used to. But you can see there's a stirring to go beyond that. Jesus had this challenge for his own disciples before he left. These are parting words. The last words Jesus said before he went to heaven are right here. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore the kingdom? And he, Jesus, replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. So, I mean, right up to when Jesus ascended, in their minds, they're thinking, yes, you're the Messiah. Finally, we get to kick Rome out and be free, politically free, to be able to come and to go and to be who we are and not have to endure this tax and all this stuff. I mean, there's history of thousands and thousands of Jewish people nailed to crosses in persecution. I mean, the evil that had been done to this nation and the oppression. And now their Savior has come. And in their mind, in their familiar thinking, there is a freedom that they've been so after, that this is going to finally be the freedom. This is going to be the thing that sets us free. And Jesus, you know, doesn't get into all the details, but he just says, you know what? You're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, all right? So, you know, go and wait in Jerusalem, and, you know, or go and, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, the ends of the earth. So he says to just wait. He said to tarry, to just wait a little bit. He didn't engage everything that they had in their minds, because he knew, you know, there was another time when he was going to talk to him. He said, man, there's a lot of things I want to tell you, but you just can't bear it right now. There's some stuff that I can't go there because your mind is going to tilt, but this is where I can go with you. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When God begins to call us out of the old and begins to call us into the new, you're going to experience challenges by the Spirit of God that are like, do I want to take that challenge? Do I want to leave the old? Because we understand this. We could all understand a sense of political oppression and political frustration, and to be free from those political oppression and frustration, and to see the new and see liberty and freedom, and you know, we know what they were getting at. Are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? And all that that meant. And Jesus said, you know, he was going to restore his kingdom. His kingdom was going to come on earth as it is in heaven. But he was going to be doing it in a different way. He was going to be moving people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son through the preaching of the gospel. That's the way God is going to build and establish his kingdom, a kingdom that would endure forever. You know, that was the political, the spiritual behind-the-scenes stuff that they just didn't understand. They just wanted Rome out. But Jesus had something bigger. He was going to do a new thing. He was going to do a new covenant, something brand new that wasn't going to just be for Israel, but every family of the earth was going to get blessed through that promise that was made to Abraham. And so they couldn't see it at the time. They didn't understand. So they had to change. They just had to obey Jesus. In other words, they want to be politically free as a nation, and Jesus changes the subject to wait until you receive power from the Holy Spirit. They're kind of thinking, I'm not sure what one has to do with the other, but I got to stop thinking along these lines, and I got to start thinking along these lines. When God begins to do a new thing, he's going to challenge the way you're thinking. He's going to change the subject on you. You know, when you think of a lot of times old patterns of thought, you know, fear has torment. And you can get in those loops of fear and what about this? And all of a sudden you're on that treadmill of fear and torment and different things like that. And God many times will challenge you and he will change the subject. He will change, he'll say, you can't win that argument. And he will challenge you to, instead of trying to win the argument of the fear and torment loop, he will change the subject to the love of God. Because there's a perfect love that can cast out that fear. He will begin to change a subject in your mind. There will be a spiritual call. I know I can't win this. I got to come over here. The answer's over here. There's power in the Holy Spirit over here somewhere. I don't have the answers. I'm just getting a stirring to put away the familiar thinking, the familiar ways. There's a stirring, the familiar fears. The answer isn't in there. I'm going to change the subject to the power of the Spirit of God. I'm going to let God change the subject. Why? Because God wants to do something new. But before God can do something new, I got to be stirred and challenged out of the familiar. And I got to be able to say, okay, I can't problem solve that. I can't win that argument. I'm going to come over here. I'm going to let God do something new. I'm going to allow God to begin to change the way I think. I'm going to allow him to begin to change. Because the power of the love of God, man, it can cast out fear. It can do everything that I can't do apart from that truth. Sometimes God, in his deliverance, in his freedom, in his doing something new, it can be different areas, of course. It could be an area of financial or healing or different things where he's going to change the way you think about something. And he's going to do something new. He's going to make a new. He's beginning to make rivers in the desert when he's doing that new thing. And this is where we've got the choice. Am I going to stay in the familiar or am I going to let God do something new? There's a call. These are deep calls of the Spirit where they're personal between you and God. Am I going to go there or am I going to stay here? Am I going to go there? Am I going to go there? They didn't know what they were going to find. They didn't know that on the day of Pentecost they were going to begin to speak with tongues, that Peter was going to preach a sermon, explain the phenomena of what was that happening there, and 3,000 people were going to be added to the church. He didn't tell them that. All he told them was, you know, you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. And sometimes you're over here, and God will just give you one word, that scripture, to go to that scripture. You don't know what's going to happen next. But if you want something new, there will be a stirring to come out of that familiar, that stirring to come out of that place of comfort, that place you know. That's going to be a big part of it right there. But there's a freedom in that stirring. There's a call to walk by faith. He left with just a promise, not even knowing where he was going. And many times it's like that. The apostles didn't know what was going to happen next. And Jesus put it this way. He said, who would put a patch of old clothing on a new cloth? The new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old wineskins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in the new wineskins, and both are preserved. So when God begins to do a new thing in our life, he's going to be new wine. It's going to be fresh. It'll be word. It'll be scriptural. It'll be spiritual. But there's going to be a new direction. There's going to be something new. And as we're beginning to sense the stirring of the Spirit of God in our life, instead of kind of getting into the old religious paradigms of, you know, I shouldn't or I should, begin to think, this is old wineskin. This is old wineskin. Am I staying around an old wineskin? Again, the old way of doing things, the old way of thinking, the old place. You know, sometimes this can even be as God's moving you on. I remember just even thinking when we moved from, Julie and I moved from Plum City, Wisconsin to Tulsa. And I'm in Plum City, Wisconsin. I'm doing a programming job and all that. And I remember telling Julie, I said, I feel like I'm in this little white T-shirt that's about 5 sizes too small for me. It's like, ugh, it fit me great, you know, just a few years ago. But now it's like an old wineskin. Even a place that you're in can feel like an old wineskin sometimes, you know, where, when God is getting ready to move you on. You know, and I remember I had a pastor who very wisely told me one day when we came into the church and we were excited about being part of the ministry there, he said, because he knew I was going to get, that I had a call in my life for the ministry and different things like that, but he said, Ed, there's going to come a time when you're not going to be comfortable to be here. He said, when that time happens, he said, don't get critical of me. Don't think I've lost the anointing. Don't think people don't love God as much as you do. Just realize that there's a time when God's getting ready to move you on and to move you out. Very wise man, you know, who had experienced different things. Because as you begin to experience things, there will be a stirring. This was, there was nothing wrong with the ministry, there's nothing wrong, but it was just like, there was something, God was stirring in me to move on, okay? And so if we're going to allow God to do a new thing in our life, we've got to realize just kind of that front truth. There's a leaving the familiar. Don't remember the former things. Don't consider the things of old. The old ways of thinking, the old thoughts, the old, there's something new. In other words, stop investing all your time into those old loops. Break the loop. Be open to something new. If God's going to do something new, we got to be open to something new. We got to be open. There's going to be Holy Spirit challenges. And again, this is the Holy Spirit doing the second sermon this morning. He's showing you those areas. Maybe he's challenged you before in some of these areas to walk by faith. Instead of just saying, oh, I know God wants me to do this, see a bigger picture. See a river in the desert. See God's getting ready to do a new thing. It's attached to a new thing that God wants to do in your spirit. He wants to do in your life, all right? That nagging of the Holy Spirit is a good thing. He's getting ready to do something new, something wonderful. Not only that, but there's also a preparing of the heart. He says, it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? In other words, it's new, and we don't know everything about it, but we know that it's God. We see that it's God. It will be apparent. It'll spring forth, and we'll know it's God. Paul writes into the Corinthians, he said, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. All that new stuff. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That's what a beautiful promise that we have in the Word of God. When he's going to do something new, he's given us his Spirit to let us know that that new thing is knowable. In other words, yeah, my eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, but we've got the Holy Spirit to know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Good works he's ordained us to walk in. We've got the Spirit that's going to say, this is the way, walk in it. That's an encouraging thought. In other words, I'm not going to just be going blindly, but I'm going to be going that direction that I'm stirred in. And as I'm going that direction, the Spirit of God is going to make that real to me. He's going to make that clear to me. And these are just some of the clues that we have by the Spirit. There's a peace witness. We let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in our hearts, deciding and settling with finality all the questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. In other words, there's a peace test. When we begin to go a direction, and we begin to go that God is leading us, there is going to be a sense of peace. There's going to be a sense of there's something really right about it. You can't always explain it. It can be a peace that passes your understanding. All you know is that there's peace in this direction. It's okay. It's a safe place to go. Desire and revelation. Not in your own strength, for it is God who all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So we see that God is working in us, that willingness and that desire. So as we're going in that direction of that new thing, there's a preparation of heart that makes it knowable. It's like, I do want to go this direction. You know, there's this time of year, Easter, we'd hide Easter baskets on our kids, and as they're going to look for their Easter basket, we'd play the hot and cold game. You're getting warm as they're getting close, or if they're turning the other direction out, you're getting cold. And so many times when you're beginning to discern and that preparation of the heart begins to happen, there is going to be the element of this hot and cold game of the Spirit, and the warm stuff is the peace, the desire, and the revelation as you're getting close. It's important to understand this is by design. Remember, Abraham didn't know where he was going. He went out by faith, and he navigated to where the Spirit ultimately led him. Do you know, even in the old, in the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul was ministering the gospel, he didn't know exactly where he was going. He was going by faith too. I love this passage. We're going to look at it in a little different light this morning. But this is the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. It said, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." Now think about that. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Couldn't you have just said, "No, it is written, go into all the world." But the Spirit, forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Is there anything wrong with preaching the word? No, nothing. But the Apostle Paul is walking in this new thing, and the Spirit of God is forbidding him. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood and pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go back to, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is such a powerful passage of scripture to me, because as we're our hearts prepared to walk in this new thing, there is a feeling out process that we're doing. You know, forbidden by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? They could have went in that direction. All of a sudden, there was no peace. There was no, it's like they could just sense a grace lift. It could have been a prophetic word. Could have been a tongue, an interpretation of tongue. There's a lot of different manifestations of the Spirit to communicate direction. Could have been a witness or a gift. We don't know. But we know somehow the Spirit of God, as they were going in that direction, stopped them. So they went in another direction. The Spirit stopped them. And then the Spirit gives Paul that dream in the night. It's important to understand in real life, when we're following after the new thing, we might not always get it right the first time. In other words, the Apostle Paul thought, man, Asia is the new thing. And God is thinking, nope, it's Macedonia is the new thing. No, Bithynia is the new thing. Nope, Macedonia. But he's staying with it. Okay, Macedonia is the new thing, concluding. And many times that's the way it works. We sense God's leading us out, but we don't have to put spiritual pressure on ourselves to get it right the first time. We can go in a direction and keep an open ear and listen. If Paul would have just said, "I don't care," he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, so and so," you know, and just, you know, went anyway, you know, that's when we get into trouble. You know, I like to put it this way. The Apostle Paul did not miss it one time. He got it right all three times. He stopped at two red lights and he went at the third green light. It's when you run the red lights that you miss it. But God has not sent the Holy Spirit to give us all green lights. He sent the Holy Spirit to give us red lights and green lights, because we need red lights. They're there to protect us. And so we see a red light, and a green light. But here's the bigger thing too that I want you to understand, because this is an area that we can really get into trouble sometimes. Paul obviously had a certain heart for the people of Asia and for the people of Bithynia. And to stop at those red lights a lot of times meant that he had to trust God with the people of Asia. He had to trust God with the people of Bithynia. He wasn't their savior. In other words, he didn't have to resolve how the people of Asia and Bithynia were going to be taken care of before he could go to Macedonia. No. They were none of his business. He's not the head of the church. In fact, when you read Peter, 2 Peter 1, he says to the pilgrims in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This happened about 50 AD. Peter wrote that 62 AD. So we know they got reached. Praise God. Paul didn't specifically go there to reach them, but the head of the church got who needed to be there, there. And sometimes as we're going on to Macedonia, we got to realize I don't have to figure out the Asia and Bithynia stuff. I don't have to answer that question. I can have a compassion, I could pray for them, but I got to go on to Macedonia. But Paul had the humility to turn around twice and to cast the care of Asia and Bithynia into the Lord and let the Lord care for them as he went on to Macedonia. What are we talking about? We're talking about preparing our heart for that new thing. These are preparations of the heart that God does on the inside of us as we're going along. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus, now this is Jesus walking on the water. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, the disciples in the boat, walking on the water, and the disciples saw him walking on the water, and they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Take courage, I'm here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Again, we're talking about preparing for a new thing. You're in the boat. The boat represents an old wineskin. It represents the way you've always done things. But there's a call in your heart for that new thing. And I love the dynamic here because this is a great heart and a great way to pray. Because as you're perceiving new things, this is our heart cry. Lord, if it's you, tell me to go here. Lord, if that is you, tell me to say this. Lord, if that is you, show me to do this next step. In other words, when we're perceiving things and we know that whatever that next thing is going to require us to get out of our boat and walk on water, we can pray that prayer. Lord, if it's really you. Now, Peter knew the Lord's voice. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they won't follow." So when Jesus said, "Yes, come," there was a voice in that "yes, come" that Peter knew it was the Lord that got him over off the boat and onto the water. These are powerful prayers that we can pray. Say, "Lord, if that's you, confirm that. Confirm your word. Show me." And God can confirm that. He can confirm it through people. He can confirm it through a witness. He could confirm things. This is where spiritual gifts can be powerful, where prophetic gifts, tongues, interpretation, they're just different ways of the Lord saying, "Yes, come." There's different ways that God will confirm his word that he'll speak to our heart. But he'll show that. But these are areas of preparation. And I've had that where I've prayed, "Lord, is that you?" And I've sensed him say, "Yes, Ed, come." And I'm going, "Lord, is it really, really, really you?" You know? And at some point, when he's preparing our hearts and we get that "yes, come," at some point, we do have to get out of the boat. At some point, when we do get that witness, we do have to go in that direction. But what are these? These are preparations of the heart that God does as he begins to do a new thing in our life. And then finally, so I'm simply calling seeing the new, all right? "I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." This is where you begin to see. You begin to get the answer to your prayer. And even when you get the answer to your prayer, you don't know everything. You just perceive and know that this is it. This is the next thing that God has called me to do. And so as we're looking at this, we're going to take a look. We're going to kind of profile the next couple of scriptures on Moses. And I got some of this from Tony Cook, was one of my teachers at school at Rhema, and he just has a great little teaching on just kind of preparing and getting people qualified and, you know, just preparing for what God has called you to do. And he brings out some of these truths, and I thought it's such a good fit for this particular message. And so there's just a couple things that I want to bring out to kind of emphasize how God makes clear to us. What we're talking about here, this is God making that river in the desert, making that roadway in the wilderness. Because even when you step out, you still don't know fully everything. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. And we know the story of Moses. The prequel to this is that Moses is in Egypt. And he sees, one of his fellow Jewish people, you know, being persecuted and by an Egyptian. He kills the Egyptian, thinking that the Jewish person is going to realize it, that Moses is the good guy. Of course, they don't realize. They don't recognize it. They don't recognize Moses' physical strength as some kind of powerful deliverance. And he doesn't get the respect. He ultimately ends up having to flee. He's in the backside of the desert for 40 years now. So he's 40 years when he flees, and now he's 40 years in the backside of the desert, and something happens with him. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. He was doing the familiar, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Again, a beautiful picture of, you know, he's doing his what he's been doing, flocks and taking care of the flocks. But he saw something and he turned aside to look. And at the point he turned aside to look, he heard God speak to his heart, "Moses, Moses." Now think about this. This is God getting Moses out of the familiar, leading him into the new thing that he's going to do. But here are some amazing things that we see in this dialogue with Moses and God. See if some of this sounds familiar to you. Exodus 3, he says, the first objection that Moses has is, who am I? But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he, God said, "I will certainly be with you." So Moses is getting the new thing. And Moses has questions about the new thing. Who am I? How can, you know, me versus Pharaoh, really? And God says, "I'm going to be with you." There's a great quote from D.L. Moody. Moody said, Moses spent the first 40 years of his life thinking he was somebody. The next 40 years of his life learning he was nobody. And the last 40 years of his life discovering what God can do with a nobody. You know, there's an emptying, you know. Of course, we know who we are in Christ, what he's given us in Christ. Apart from him, we're nothing, though. And so many times what we're learning is we're discovering what he said, "I will be with you." And this is where we're learning. We are in Christ. God is with us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Many times the "who am I" gets answered in our lives by who we are in Christ. In learning that he is with us, he is in us, he is for us. So many times there's a preparation saying, with this new thing, I'm going to do this new thing. And there's kind of stuff, whether we're outward about it or not, we gauge, we rate, we grade ourselves, our ability, our skills, and all that. And we come up to here on some areas, we're down here on other areas, and God wants us to do that. And immediately we put our report card up next to that, and God says, "Don't do that. I will be with you. You may be a C here, but if you got to meet something with that, you will be an A. I'll make up the difference there, okay? Don't take your personal report card into what I'm calling you to do next. There will be a grace. I'm going to be with you in those areas." That's an encouraging thing. What's God doing with Moses' sense of inadequacy, his desert of inadequacy? He's making a river. "I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you in this new thing." The next objection that Moses has is, "I don't know enough." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' they're going to say to me, 'What is his name? What is his name? What shall I say to them?'" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." How am I going to respond? What am I going to say? I don't know. God tells you, "I am that I am." Now, this is the cool thing. God didn't tell him everything. He just told him the next thing. A lot of times, again, you're going up against that new thing. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to. You just have to know what God has shown you in the moment. As you begin to go, he's going to show you things. In fact, Jesus cautioned people in the last. He said, "You're going to be brought up before rulers. You're going to be brought up before kings." And he said, "Don't prepare your remarks ahead of time." He said, "In the moment, I will show you what you must say." That's humbling. And that's God's way many times. He's going to show you what you need to know to take the next step out into that venture. But there was a lot of things that Moses learned along the way as he went too. I don't know enough. You don't have to know everything. We do know in part. There's stuff that God's going to show us as we get going. Isn't that kind of fun when you begin to approach a project? And, you know, sometimes it's creative and it's new. A lot of times, I mean, even I can relate this to programming or different things like that. I know Julie and Whitney with doing a new room or something like that, or they'll kind of going in a direction. All of a sudden, things will get unfolded and you begin to see things as you go. You just know enough to go in that direction. And as you see, you get more stuff as you're going in that direction. And that's so many times when God's doing a new thing, we don't have to put the pressure on ourselves to have every I dotted and every T crossed. We don't. We just need enough to know that, okay, it's time to step out of the boat and begin to go in that direction. And then we're going to know what I need to know. He gave them what they needed for that next step. I am who I am has sent has sent me. So he gave him that. And then the other objection Moses had, no one's going to believe me. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. So he cast it to the ground. It became a serpent. Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. What is this a picture of? This is a picture of Moses personally experiencing the power of God in his own life. This is a picture of Moses knowing firsthand the power of God in his life in a way that he knows it's God. In other words, he's kind of saying, here's the bigger deal, Moses, not about trying to make them believe you. Know that I am God. Know that what I am doing is, knowing that what you're about to do is of me, that the power is of me. You get a revelation. It's more important for you to believe this than for them to believe it right now. You need to know that this is me. You need to realize that I am the one who's calling you. I'm sending you. You're getting familiar with my power, with my ability. You know, when the Apostle Paul, he went out to preach. He went in Athens and he began to preach. And when he began to preach on the resurrection, some of them laughed and said, we'll hear you about this later, Paul. The resurrection, they didn't believe him. When the Apostle Paul was in his own rented home, he was kind of in a jail, as it were, and he preached the gospel. I mean, could you imagine the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel? And he said, some believed him and some didn't. In other words, when I'm going out and God's given me a vision and God has shown me that it's him, I don't have to make you believe me for me to do what God has called me to do. Do you know if I'm believing for healing, I don't need you to believe in my healing for me to be healed. I don't need to make you believe in healing in order for me to be able to be healed. I can believe that God's will for me is to be healed, and I can hold on to and I can stand in faith for healing. I don't have to answer somebody else's objections and answer all those things for me to be healed. No, I can just personally stand in faith for my own healing from God. I can experience firsthand the power of God to heal in my own life. I don't have to answer all the other questions or objections and things like that. I can just know God's will for me is healing. If that's a path that God has got for me, or God is leading me into an area to do a work or to do something for his kingdom and his glory, are there going to be naysayers? Yes. Are there going to be people saying, God hasn't sent you? Yes. But what's the most important thing? You know God has sent you. God has witnessed to you. He's shown you by his spirit, his power, his strength. You know, my. It's not the biggest thing. It's not up to me to make everybody believe me. It's up to me to do what God has told me to do, to know that his power is behind me. And people can come in behind, they can believe, but ultimately that's going to be their choice. I'll tell you what, it sets you free from the opinions of people when you can just go forth into that new thing doing what God has called you to do. Whatever that step of faith is, it's the step of faith that God has called you to do. Praise God. He's going to bring the people along with you that are also part of that new thing. And then finally, he said, I don't speak well. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither before nor since have you spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Again, here's the Lord just saying, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be all that. You can just go. Go knowing that this is the new thing that I'm showing you to do. And when you look at Moses and you look at his life, he did speak, and he did speak to Pharaoh, and God gave him power and strength. You know, he gave him an outlet, you know, but he ultimately said, you know, I'm going to speak through you, Moses. I'm going to be on your mouth. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you the things to say. And so, as we look at the account, we see that Moses did. He did stand before Pharaoh, and it wasn't again about his ability. It was about knowing that God told him to go. What is God doing? He's making a way in the desert of his inability to speak. He's making a way. He's showing him that yes, I'm going to be with you when I'm doing that new thing. Don't worry about it. When God does a new thing, there is a leaving the familiar. There is a not, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. There is going to be a Holy Spirit challenge. If you want to get into the new, if you want to go from glory to glory, you can't be stuck in the current glory. You got to be able to say, okay, there's a new glory. There is something that God is going to do that's new, that is different. This is where our personal relationship with the Lord is personal. I'm not doing this to get saved, right? I'm doing this to walk in the good works He's ordained me to walk in. And so I'm realizing, God, you're gonna stir me. You're going to move me. I'm going to recognize, what are the old wineskins? Lord, is that an old wineskin thought? I don't want it. I want to go on to the new wine. I want to go on to the wineskins of faith and hope. I want to go in the wineskins of trust, the wineskins of the new creation of who I am in Christ Jesus. I want to put away the old. There's a preparing of the heart. The Holy Spirit is in here to work with me, to give me the peace, to give me the desire to do what He's called me to do. It's red lights, it's green lights. I'm learning, I'm navigating, and in that navigating, my heart is getting prepared to see something, to see what God has called me to do, to see that specific, to see that next step, that next plan, that purpose that God has for my life. And yeah, does it mean that I'm going to know everything just because I see what to do next? I'll still have objections, but that's okay. God has an answer for everyone because it's His plan. It's His purpose. These are good works He's ordained us to walk in, new things that He wants to do in our life. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that You are the God of new things. You are the God who does make all things new. And Father, I just pray this morning as we're just looking at our lives and where we're at and the new things, the new areas that we're going into, Father, new seasons of life that we're getting prepared for, that we don't have to be afraid of these new seasons. We don't have to be afraid because You are with us in that new season, Lord. We don't have to know everything in this new season. We just need to know what You've shown us for now, knowing that You're going to continue to lead and guide us in that new season. You're going to give us more counsel, more wisdom, Father, in that season as we go forward. We thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who's been sent to guide us, lead us, show us things to come. Holy Spirit, I just pray for each one of us here this morning. Minister to our hearts. Show us, Father, those old ways of thinking, those old ways of reasoning, the old wineskin stuff. And I pray that every heart will be encouraged this morning. No one feels condemned this morning about old wineskin thoughts, but every heart is encouraged that there is a new wineskin for that. And the Holy Spirit is pointing us to freedom, to liberty, to deliverance, Father God. That they will hear that call to leave the familiar, Father God, to leave the abusive situations of the mind, abusive situations of the thoughts, or just the oldness, Father God, where You're getting ready to move us on to the new, Father, the different areas of familiar, Lord. I pray that we would answer that call, Lord, and realize that Your Spirit's been given to us to show us every good work You've ordained us to walk in, that these are knowable, Father God. I thank You, Lord, that You're working in our hearts this morning, preparing us for those new things, that we can call out to You and say, Lord, if that's You, bid me come. Father, I pray that heart cry for each one of us as we're drawn by Your Spirit this morning. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning and just let the Spirit of God, you know, adapt this to whatever that situation is. This is adapted in all different levels in my life, whether it's freedom from something that's had me bound, or freedom to move on to a new season of life that God has for me. There's a pattern here when God does things new, whatever that application is, He's going to move you from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and He's going to challenge you in a good way that'll cause you to let go of the familiar and listen and pull into the new things that God has for you. Praise God.